What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willst, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special. السلام عليكم.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا. رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamu alaikum. May Allah's peace be upon all of you. You are listening today's special from IRIB English Radio. Due to the proximity of the month of Muharram, we want to look at the way of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him.
Allahumma ja'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Today, Sunday, is the 28th of Zilhijjah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 17th of Mordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 8th of August, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As the previous episode of today's special, now we have a short commentary of some parts of Ziyarat Ashura.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله السلام عليك يا خيرة الله وابن خيرته السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين وابن سيد الوصيين السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين السلام عليك يا ثار الله وابن ثاره والوتر الموتور.
Peace be upon you, O Abu Abdullah. Peace be upon you, O son of the Messenger of Allah. Peace be upon you, O son of the Commander of the Faithful, and the son of the Leader of the Inheritors of the Prophet. Peace be upon you, O son of Fatima, the Leader of the Women of the entire universe. Peace be upon you, O the one who was killed, and whose blood was not yet been avenged, and whose avenging is in the hands of Allah. And peace be upon you, the son of the one who was killed and whose blood has not yet been avenged. And peace be upon you, O the one who was alone, an individual.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn. It is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbalah.
O father of Abdullah, the words Abu Abdullah literally mean the father of the obedient slave of Allah. Honorify their fellow brothers by calling them with a technonym or kunya, a name that mostly mentions the first or one of the offsprings of the named one. Hence, if a person had a son named Abdullah, he is called Abu Abdullah, which means father of Abdullah. One of the reasons behind the Imam alayhi salam, being called Abu Abdullah is that he had an offspring called Abdullah, famously known as Ar-Ravi, one who is still breastfeeding. He was mercilessly martyred by the enemies of Imam al-Husayn, peace be upon him.
Husayn al-Gharib al-Gharib al-Husayn, Husayn al-Shahid al-Shahid al-Husayn, Husayn al-Gharib al-Gharib al-Husayn, Husayn al-Shahid al-Shahid al-Husayn.
On this series of today's special from IRIB English Radio, we look at the path of Imam al-Husayn, peace be upon him. Addressing Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi and his troops, who had been dispatched in intercept the Imam's caravan on the way and to stop him from entering Kufa, Imam Husayn alayhi salam quotes this tradition of the Prophet, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, which states the duty of Muslims vis-a-vis corrupt and un-Islamic rulers. O people, verily the Messenger of Allah said, whoever observes a sovereign legalizing what God has made unlawful, violating the covenant of Allah, opposing the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, and treating the creature of God sinfully and oppressively, and does not oppose him with his speech and action, Allah has a right to bring him to the same fate as that of the tyrant.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Rabbi Nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about the path of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. We find that those people for whom the Holy Quran and Quranic notions and Quranic advice would hardly prove effective, those people, as indicated in religious advice of Muslim ulama, those people should turn to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and should try to benefit from listening to the calamities imposed on Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Now we find that when the crescent of the month Muharram appears, in fact, the month of mourning and the month of remembering the calamities and oppressions inflicted on Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam has appeared. For example, in the city of Karbala, we find that with the emergence or with the advent of the crescent of the Muharram, the red banner, the red flag over the dome of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is changed to black, and in a Muslim heritage, color black signifies and implies grief and being associated, I mean, in one way or another, with commemorating the afflictions inflicted on Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam.
Why did Imam al-Husayn rise up? Imam al-Husayn's fight had two dimensions and can have two different fallouts. Nonetheless, both outcomes are good. One result was that Imam al-Husayn could defeat Yazid's government and take power away from those who oppressed the people and devastated the fate of the people, so he could arrange things in an appropriate way. If this had happened, the route of history would have revolved. Another dimension was that Imam Hussein alayhi salam could not, for whatever reason, achieve political and military victory, then he would not by words, rather by blood, by resisting oppression, by a language that history will never forget, make his narrative flow like a perpetual and non-interruptible stream in history. This is what Imam al-Hussein did.
Ya Hussein, Hussein, Hussein. Ya Hussein, Hussein, Hussein.
Lessons of Muharram.
One lesson from the lessons from Karbala. Patience in adversity. Allah tells us in the Holy Quran that only those who remain patient will receive reward without measure. Imam Hussein, a living example of what the Quran thought, was happy to remain patient in hardship and endurance and to await his Lord's reward. His patience wasn't out of weakness or helplessness, but it was a demonstration of his steadfastness and bravery. Those who saw the Imam on the day of Ashura reported, "We have never seen a man remaining as composed as Imam al-Hussein," whereas his relatives and children were slaughtered before his eyes.
The human body has been given, Allah has given us the ability to heal. Anytime you have an injury, pain, whatever, then we heal after that. Crying, it enhances and increases the body's ability to heal. And that's why studies mention that the individuals that cry more often usually enjoy better health than those that cry less. And also, it's not just crying that helps, but even some certain studies indicate that even those individuals that had a good image, a good perception, a good outlook towards crying, they enjoy better health than those that see crying as something shameful, for example, or they have a negative outlook towards crying. So just having a positive outlook and attitude towards crying can help our health. So you find that physically there are many benefits to crying. Psychologically, emotionally, of course, we all know it makes us feel better. Anytime when we have a tragedy, when I have a problem and we cry, this makes us feel a lot better. And that's why the famous poem of Shakespeare says, "To weep is to make less the depth of sorrow." And this is common sense. So psychologically, emotionally, and physically, crying is a good thing. And when we come to religion, spiritually, crying is also good. And that's why I want you, brothers and sisters, to pay attention so that we can understand this new outlook towards crying. Because like I mentioned, many people, they have a negative outlook towards crying. They look down upon it, especially the men. They consider crying as for women, for children, not for us. If I want to be tough and strong, I should never cry. And that's why you find, like I mentioned, women cry much more than men.
Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد.
Thank you for joining us till this moment, the end of today's special from IRIB English Radio. May Allah increase our rewards of our mourning for Imam al-Hussein and let us be one of the companions of Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. Till another episode of today's special, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
Hussein, as-salamu. food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is what the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, says about hastiness and rashness. One who rushes madly after inordinate desire runs the risk of encountering destruction and death.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. As we mentioned in one of our previous programs, that the Sunnah and the tradition of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not something to be taken lightly, and a lot of the benefits of those particular Sunnah that the Holy Prophet brought for us were mentioned in traditions and are mentioned in the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, but many of those things are not something that can be proven. This is very important. Scientifically proven. You know, this term is a very dangerous term that we have in our world today. That it has to be scientifically proven that this results in that. Why? As we mentioned, it is incumbent upon us as Muslims to understand that the things that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said is because he is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's attached to the infinite source, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, whatever he says has wisdom behind it, has hikmah behind it. You know, it's not just saying it for the sake of saying, it's not just saying it for the sake of wasting time. There's a reason for it. And therefore, we see that sometimes the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would also bring the result of that particular action, even though we may not see it, even though we may not be able to see the connection between these two things. But as the philosopher says, the entire world and the entire system of creation is attached and connected. We just do not know how. We don't know how our own body is connected, let alone the entire system of creation. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in one of the traditions that brushing one's teeth, simple brushing. Now, when we say brushing, does it have to be with a miswak? Does it have to be with a toothbrush? Is there any difference in it? That's another discussion altogether. Right now, we'll take it on the apparent nature and say, no, brushing one's teeth with the miswak, which is obviously the specific piece of wood from a particular tree, or basically even some of the traditional medical practitioners who have said that, you know, using branches from an olive tree, for example, is good for this. But anyway, even the two brushes that we normally use, the plastic ones, are fine. So brushing one's teeth increases one's articulacy. Meaning what? Meaning that you'll be able to speak better. You'll be able to speak in a more profound way. You'll be able to speak using bigger or better. Rather, that's not even the goal here. That you are able to transfer the knowledge that you have in a particular manner, that the person who is your audience or the person who you are trying to speak to will be able to understand you better. That's one of the better meanings of being articulate. That you use good words, but you use words in its proper place in order to deliver your message to somebody else so that that person understands what is the point of spoken word is to do what is known as tafheem, to do understanding, to tell people what you intend or what you mean. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to truly, even to a small extent, understand the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Iqra. بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from IRIB English Radio on the blessed days of Ramadan, month of Allah. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, Rabbi Mahdi. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners who are listening to Let's Recite the Quran. I'm really glad to be with you, and thank you for having me.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you know, Ramadan is the spring of Quran. And during Ramadan, almost all Muslims try to recite the Noble Quran, and they try to finish recitation of at least one juz every day. There's a narration from Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam that says, recitation of one verse is equal to the recitation of the whole Quran. And of course, listening to the Quran recitation has got a lot of rewards. In the program Let's Recite the Quran, each day we are going to listen to recitation of a few verses of a specific juz. But before it, we are going to talk a little about the surahs and chapters included in that juz and the rewards of those who recite those surahs. After recitation, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation as well as the recited verses. Besides these segments, we're going to have some other interesting Quranic segments which will be presented to you. So dear audience, stay tuned.
Ramadan صيام ودعاء Ramadan أمان وصفاء Ramadan صيام ودعاء رمضان أمان وصفاء رمضان سلوك وعطاء أهلا بقدومك يا رمضان
رمضان كريم 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 شهر عظيم
Dear audience, today on the 14th day of the blessed month of Ramadan, we are going to listen to the recitation of a few verses from Juz 14 of the Noble Quran. Juz 14 consists of Suratul Hijr, the 15th surah of the Noble Quran with 99 verses that was revealed in Mecca. The word Hijr can be seen in 80th verse of this holy surah, which refers to the land of the people of Thamud. And the main concept of this surah is the story of people of Thamud too. The second surah, which is totally in Juz 14, is Surah An-Nahl, with 128 verses. It was revealed in Mecca too. This surah is called An-Nahl because it speaks about Nahl, that means honeybee, and God's inspiration to it. This surah speaks about the blessings of God, the hereafter, and arguments for the unity of God and His glory.
Okay, Brother Mahdi, we have a narration from our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, that whoever recites Surah An-Nahl once every month, he will be safe from 70 types of diseases, and he will be among the people of paradise. And about Surah Al-Hijr, which is also in Juz 14 of the Holy Quran, it is narrated from the Holy Prophet that whoever recites Surah Al-Hijr, he will get the reward equal to the number of the companions of the Holy Prophet.
There were many
companions of the Prophet who were among Muhajirin and Ansar.
Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 1 to 8 of Surah An-Nahl of Juz 14 of the Noble Quran, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. The event ordained by Allah will come to pass, so seek not to hasten it. Glorified and exalted be He above all that they associate as partners with Him. He sends down the angels with the revelation of His command to whom of His slaves He wills, saying, "Warn mankind that none has the right to be worshipped but I, so fear Me." He has created the heavens and the earth with truth. High is He, exalted above all that they associate as partners with Him. He has created the human being from mixed discharge. Then behold, this same being becomes an open opponent. And the cattle He has created for you. In them there is warmth and numerous benefits, and of them you eat. And wherein is beauty for you when you bring them home in the evening, and as you lead them forth to pasture in the morning? And they carry your loads to a land that you could not reach except with great trouble to yourselves. Truly your Lord is full of kindness, most merciful. And horses, mules, and donkeys for you to ride and as an adornment. And He creates things of which you have no knowledge.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. أتى أمر الله فلا تستعجلوه سبحانه وتعالى عما يشركون ينزل الملائكة بالروح من أمره على من يشاء من عباده أن أنذروا أنه لا إله إلا أنا فاتقون خلق السماوات والأرض بالحق تعالى عما يشركون خلق الإنسان من نطفة فإذا هو خصيم مبين والأنعام خلقها لكم فيها دفء ومنافع ومنها تأكلون ولكم فيها جمال حين تريحون وحين تسرحون وتحمل أثقالكم إلى بلد لم تكونوا بالغيه إلا بشق الأنفس إن ربكم لرؤوف رحيم والخيل والبغال والحمير لتركبوها وزينة ويخلق ما لا تعلمون
كتاب الله
Dear audience, you're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of verses 1 to 8 of Surah An-Nahl in Juz 14 of the Noble Quran. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Sure. The reciter of these verses of the Quran was Sadaqat Ali, Sheikh Sadaqat Ali. He is from Pakistan. I believe he was a student of Sheikh Abdul Basit Muhammad Abdul Samad, and he's a very good reciter of the Quran. His tajweed is excellent. He has a good voice. Mm-hmm. And in terms of maqamat, he uses maqam rast in this recitation. And the speed of his recitation is relatively fast compared to other reciters, such as Abdul Basit himself. Let's go over the rules of tajweed now.
Good idea.
Ata amrullah. The matul munfasil was lengthened to 4 or 5 vowel counts. It seemed to be 4 vowel counts, considering the speed of his recitation. Amrullah. The ra was pronounced with tafkhim because it has a dhamma. Yes, with thickness. Subhanah. We have qalqala of the letter ba. You should allow the sound of ba to bounce back. Subhanah. You don't keep the articulators in the place of articulation of ba. Subhanah is incorrect. Subhanah. Right whenever they touch each other, the two lips touch each other, they have to retract, come apart.
And could you remind us of other letters of qalqala?
Would you do that, please?
I think they formed the phrase qutubi jad.
That's right. Qaf, ta, ba, jim, and dal. Yunazzilu al-malaikata. We have matul muttasil, which should be lengthened to 4 vowel counts or 5 vowel counts. And Sheikh Sadaqat Ali lengthens it to 4 vowel counts.
That is a disjunct man.
Yes, that's right. Okay, he has a very good breath control, because, you know, in this verse we had a lot of mad muttasil and munfasil. Yunazzilul malaikata. That's one madul muttasil.
Conjunct man.
Yes. Yasha'u.
Conjunct man.
Another madul muttasil. This is the second mad. Ibadihi an. This is the third mad, which is madul muttasil. Anziru annahu. This is the fourth mad, which is again madul munfasil. La ilaha. The fifth madul munfasil. Altogether, this is the fifth mad. This is probably
the
third mad al munfasil. Illa ana. This is the last mad. And
which is again Madul Munfasil, the fourth Madul Munfasil.
Yes, that's right.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. You're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. Stay tuned. Hujjatul Islam Shomali, Islamic scholar.
In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. There are many hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam about the merits of the people who carry the Quran. For example, there is a hadith in which the Prophet told Salman, وَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ بَعْدَ تَعَلُّمِ الْعِلْمِ أحب إلى الله من قراءة القرآن. After seeking knowledge, after learning, there is nothing which is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like the recitation of the Quran. So nothing is more loved by Allah than this. وَإِنَّ أَكْرَمَ الْعِبَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ بَعْدَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. After the prophets, the people who are loved the most by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they are honored the most by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the scholars, are the learned people. ثُمَّ حَمَلَةُ الْقُرْآنِ. And then those who carry the Quran, the carriers of the Quran. يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا كَمَا يَخْرُجُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. The way they end their life, the way they leave this world is like the prophets. وَيُحْشَرُونَ مِنْ قُبُورِهِمْ مَعَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. And then the way they are resurrected also looks like the prophets, so they will be resurrected with the prophets. وَيَمُرُّونَ عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ مَعَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. And they manage to go all the way through Sirat to heaven with the prophets. وَيَأْخُذُونَ ثَوَابَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. And they will be rewarded not necessarily in quantity the same as Anbiya, but in quality. It means that the category of reward that they will be put in is like Anbiya, because the same job of Anbiya, which is guidance. This is my interpretation. فَتُوبَ لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ وَحَامِلِ الْقُرْآنِ. So these two groups of people, the seekers of knowledge and the carriers of the Quran, have such a status in dunya and on the day of judgment that everyone should wish to be one of them. مِمَّا لَهُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنَ الْكَرَامَةِ وَالشَّرَفِ. Because of the honor and the respect that they have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
رمضان يا رمضان يا رمضان شهر الكتاب تلاوة وقيام
رمضان يا رمضان يا رمضان
شهر الكتاب تلاوة وقيام.
Dear audience, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. I hope that you've enjoyed it. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please don't forget to pray for us during the blessed hours of Ramadan. May Allah bless you all. Have a nice time and goodbye.
سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
The Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء اللهم اغفر لي كل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطية أخطأتها اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك.
Dear listeners, we were talking about the phrase which Imam عليه السلام says, اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء. O Allah, forgive me those sins which hold back supplications. Regarding this phrase, we had a tradition from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam mentioning the different sins which prevent the acceptance of supplication by the Almighty Allah. In the previous program, we had a quick look at hypocrisy. Now, what are the reasons of hypocrisy? And one of the attributes that cause hypocrisy is being arrogant before the truth. Being arrogant before the giver of advice, the people, Almighty Allah's rules and His prophets. And this is a satanic attitude. Satan got deprived of Almighty Allah's mercy only for his arrogance before Him. And he was thus cast out. He was cursed and doomed to chastisement. An arrogant is so unfortunate that he is away from the Almighty Allah's mercy. The Holy Quran says, إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْتَكْبِرِينَ. Verily, he loves not the arrogant. So, it suffices for an arrogant that the punishment which the Holy Quran has determined is for him to dwell in the inferno. فَلَبِئْسَ مَثْوَى الْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. Woeful indeed will be the lodging of the arrogant. So, if you consider yourself better than the others, and at the center of attraction, together with arrogance against Almighty Allah's rules, His worship, and the reality, is a major sin, and this brings about His doomed punishment. Boasting about your knowledge, boasting about your deeds, your worship, your beauty, your wealth, your strength, or plentiful friend, is an obscene act.
Oh, first of the foremost, oh, last existence after the last. Oh, Allah, forgive me my such sins which tear away my safeguards. Oh, Allah, forgive me my such sins as would bring down calamity. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would change your favor. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would hinder my supplications. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins which descend misfortunes. Oh Allah, forgive my sins that suppress hope. Oh Allah, forgive every sin that I have committed and every error that I have earned. Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation. And I pray to you to intercede on my behalf. And I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you begging submissively, humbly and awe-stricken me,
to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances.
Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has stated, Al-izzu rida'ullahi wal-kibru izaruh. Glory, dignity, and greatness belong to Allah. Anyone who considers these attributes as belonging to himself will be placed in hell. فَمَنْ تَنَاوَلَ شَيْئًا مِّنْهُ أَكَبَّهُ اللَّهُ فِي جَهَنَّمُ. We have different traditions saying that the one who has a small amount of arrogance in his heart would not enter paradise. لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مَنْ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالُ ذَرَّةٍ مِّنَ الْكِبْرِ. We can infer from this tradition that even a small amount of arrogance in the heart will be the root and the cause to other evil doings. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has stated, إن في جهنم لواديا للمتكبرين يقال له سقر. In the inferno, surely there is a place for the arrogant people called سقر. Imam continues, شكى إلى الله عز وجل شدة حره وسأله أن يأذن له أن يتنفس فتنفس فأحرق جهنم. This سقر complains about its extreme hotness to Allah and asks for permission for breathing. It burns the whole inferno as it breathes. This is the place for the arrogant ones. Abdul A'la says, I asked Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, what is arrogance? He alayhi salam stated, أَعْظَمُ الْكِبْرِ أَن تُسَفِّهَ الْحَقِّ. The highest degree of arrogance is belittling the truth and other people. I asked again, how does one belittle the truth? Imam alayhi salam answered, يَجْهَلُ الْحَقَّ وَيَطْعَنُ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ. Belittling the truth is misunderstanding it and reproaching those who support it. And this is the feature of those people who do not understand anything logical. They do not understand reasoning, and they shut their eyes. They put their thumbs into their ears so they will not hear the truth, lest they will be inclined to it, because they know where the truth is, but they have been entangled in this world and they cannot keep themselves away and separate themselves from this world. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's new episode of The Lantern here on IRIB English Radio. I personally am so very much for animal cruelty-free products and procedures. I know that scientists sometimes have reason to justify their experiments on animals for the greater good, for the sake of humanity, and stuff like that, but there always should be a line, right? And Islamically speaking, I'm not sure whether that is the objective behind the creation of animals. I'm no scholar. The reason I wanted to open up with that line is because that is in a way related to the short story we're going to hear on today's episode. And let's hear it, our short, interesting little anecdote, and we're going to be right back.
In the name of Allah, Salamun Alaikum, dear friend. Welcome to this episode of Lantern. As you know, we have an interesting story at the beginning of each episode. The title of today's story is Keep Swimming. During a brutal study at Harvard in the 1950s, Dr. Kurt Richter placed rats in a pool of water to test how long they could tread water. On average,